Dear friends, I want to start a new series of studies looking at the matter of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 and the heroes of faith here. This chapter contains the most complete treatise of faith to be found in the Bible, and its biographical illustrations show us faith at work in the lives of a great variety of people, all sorts of individuals. We will find ourselves in some of these characters. We'll see in these lives the presence of faith. We see in these lives the principle of faith. We see the power of faith, how powerful faith can be, and the possibilities of faith. These men and women were all ordinary people. They were sinful people. You look at their lives and you wonder, why did God even choose them to select them as an example of faith for us? He could have chosen some other people. But they're mentioned because they believed God. That's why. Faith, dear friends, is the indispensable quality for which God looks. We read in verse 6 of Hebrews 11, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." This kind of faith is very serious faith. This kind of vital faith, real faith, saving faith, it is serious. It is urgent for us because the Bible refers to it as a matter of life and death to know this kind of faith, this kind of belief. We read in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10, these words, it's described in this way, 1 John 5:10. It says, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son." So are we going to make God a liar by the kind of faith or the lack of it that we have? The difference between the Christian and the non-Christian is that in the life of the Christian, there is this principle of faith that is operating, it is working. It's not perfect, they don't act upon it perfectly, but it is working, it is operating, and it is based upon the Lord Jesus Christ, his word, his promises. The scripture says this in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, "The just shall live by faith." Those who are made righteous in the sight of God, they live by faith. That's how they live. It is not a kind of a faith that makes them live at times by faith, but they are living by faith. And it's quoted 3 times in the New Testament. "The just shall live by faith." The Reformation began as Martin Luther got a hold of this truth. Whereas in the life of the non-Christian, faith is not real faith. This genuine saving faith, we say, is not present. They are not living by faith in Christ. And the first man of faith who is mentioned here is Abel. And we are only going to touch on some things. We won't be doing a deep study of this. But in verses 1 through to 4 of Hebrews 11, and when we compare it, and we should have read the first 8 verses of Genesis 4, but if we can compare them together. As we look at Abel, we see that it was his faith which enabled him to approach God and to worship him acceptably. It wasn't just that he was doing the right things, but he was doing it by faith. We can do all of the right things, dear friends, but if it is not based upon faith in the Lord, and that faith that is heartfelt, it will not be acceptable. Notice how that in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, we read of Enoch that he walked with God. He walked with God. In verse 7, we read of Noah, who we could say he worked for God. But we see in Abel that he worshipped God. Worship, dear friends, is the highest function of the human soul. And only as we are able to worship can we effectively walk and work for God. Worship is serious. How can a man approach God and be accepted by Him? How can I be accepted by God? How can I approach God? In two ways, we could say. There are two ways. The true way and the false way. And these are represented by Cain and Abel and the offerings that they brought to the Lord. Cain was rejected because his offering was not acceptable to God. It wasn't what God had called for. But Abel was accepted because the offering that he brought was acceptable to God, and he did it by faith, doing what the Lord had said. And dear friends, we are either like Abel or Cain. We are either saved or lost. We are either believers or unbelievers, Christians or non-Christians. How did Abel exercise faith in the Lord? Faith which made him acceptable to God. And the kind of faith that enabled him to worship and brought the assurance of salvation. Those are some of the things we want to think about. And maybe in future we'll touch on other things. But first of all, Abel exercised faith, and that's the subject, exercising of faith. Abel exercised faith by discounting human schemes, by discounting human methods, and reasoning, and by obeying God. He exercised faith by discounting human schemes, methods, and reasonings, and by obeying God. So you can picture these two men, Cain and Abel. You're familiar with them, I trust. Before they could come into the presence of God, they must bring an offering. We must approach God through an offering, through a sacrifice. Because why? Because they were sinners and they knew it. How do we know that they were sinners? Because the Bible tells us so. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, we read this. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so they were after the fall of their parents. So both men built an altar. They knew they needed to come before God through the sacrifice. And Cain brought his offering. So outwardly, he seems to be doing well. He's doing something. He's not an atheist, but he's doing something. And so in Genesis 4 and verse 3, we read that he brought the fruit of the ground. That's what he did. What he brought was earthly, the fruit of the ground. But then in verse 4, we read that Abel brought his offering from the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. He brought a sacrificial lamb, something that was alive, that had been put to death. Cain's offering was far more attractive than Abel's, if you think about it. Cain's offering, if you think about it, it was painless. I wonder if you have ever killed some sort of an animal. Not an insect, but an animal. It's not an easy thing. You're facing with death. So Cain's offering was painless. It was, we could say, bloodless. It was much cleaner. But Abel's offering was what God wanted. It wasn't an easy offering. But it was what God wanted, because he had evidently revealed his way of salvation to his parents, Adam and Eve. That's why God accepts. They should have known. They did know, because Abel did choose the right thing. And the Lord said, if you had done right, you would have been accepted. And we learn that the parents were told about this in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, in Genesis 3 and verse 21 as well. And there is the picture there of the Lord covering them. And before the skin could be provided for a covering for Adam and Eve's shame, an animal had to be killed, had to be put to death, and blood had to be shed. So while Cain placed upon the altar the fruit of his own labor, he brought his grain and vegetables and such things, which he himself had raised by his own efforts. Abel, his brother, took a perfect lamb, fatlings, it says, firstborn, killed it, poured the blood at the side of the altar, and placed the lamb upon the altar. Abel's offering, dear friends, anticipated the coming of the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God that John the Baptist pointed to, that takes away the sin of the world. It typifies the sacrifice of Calvary. There is, dear friends, only one way for a sinner to approach a holy God, and that is through the shed blood of the Lamb. And we must then exercise faith in God. And that means to recognize this fact and to approach Him in this way. Contrary, though it is to our human reason. And so that was the difficulty for Cain. He just didn't believe in that way of that the Lord had said, that he must be worshipped and approached. So there is that. Abel exercised faith. How? He exercised faith by discounting human schemes. It wasn't a plan of man. It wasn't a plan method of man or the reasoning of man. Cain's reasoning and faith was on things that he could understand and he could reason. But Abel's faith was exercised by obeying God. Second is this. Abel exercised faith by acknowledging his sin and his need of God's forgiveness. So this saving faith, true faith, is exercised by acknowledging our sin and our need of God's forgiveness. There is no hint that Cain made any acknowledgement of his sin. He didn't recognize his own sinfulness. But Abel's sacrifice and offering spoke not only of man's sin, but also of God's remedy for sin. The book of Hebrews, again, chapter 9 and verse 22, it reads, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Cain and Abel are the Old Testament counterparts of the Pharisee and the publican that we recently looked at in Luke chapter 18. One was proud, one was doing it his way, and he was rejected. The other was humble, and he was accepted. One was blind in his sin and full of self-righteousness, and giving reasons why he has done certain things, and the other acknowledged his need of God's forgiveness. So he humbles himself before the Lord, does the best he can to bring what the Lord has called for approaching God in worship. But then the third thing is this, that Abel exercised faith not only by acknowledging his sin and his need of God's forgiveness, but also by recognizing that no work or effort of his own could gain his acceptance before God. He acknowledged that he had no merits to make him acceptable before God. And so the language of Cain or of Abel was, in the words of the hymn, "Not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling." So through this sacrifice and the shedding of blood, that's what he was looking to. But the language of Cain was, because he was doing what God had said, but Cain was doing what he wanted to do. Cain's hymn would be, all the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demand. Something in my hand I bring, simply to my work I cling. Cain brought his best, but it was not acceptable. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. That is what the scripture says. So say, exercising faith, this able exercised faith by recognizing that no work or effort of his own could gain his acceptance before God. And so he says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. He did it by faith, not through his works, but he was trusting in what God had said. And then fourthly, Abel exercised faith by providing an offering that foreshadowed the great offering for sin. He exercised faith by providing an offering that foreshadowed the great offering for sin. And as Abel brought his offering, he was in effect saying this to the Lord. Oh Lord, I am a sinner. I've broken your holy law, and I'm deserving death. I'm deserving to die for my sins. But you gave my father and mother a promise of the coming one who is to take away our sin. And I'm coming to you in the way in which you've commanded me, to show you that I believe your promises and I'm trusting in the coming one. Accept the life of this little lamb in the place of my life and forgive my sins for the sake of the lamb who is to come. It says here, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. It was a more excellent sacrifice because it was on the promises of the coming Jesus Christ. And it says, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And then finally, Abel exercised faith by accepting God's testimony that he was righteous. So that is what we read just now. We read that by faith, Abel obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. He obtained witness that he was righteous by faith. And this means that Abel believed that through his offering, God has accepted him and has justified him. That's what it's saying. That he trusted that God has accepted his sacrifice and God has accepted his worship and God has shown him mercy. That's what he believed. Abel's faith, therefore, brought him the assurance of salvation. That's what it's saying. He became sure. God has forgiven him, shown him mercy. And so it should be with us. Friend, do you lack assurance? Are you not sure if you are saved or not? You think about the words of Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walked not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Do you believe this? If you know this to be true and have experienced it, then there is no need for not being sure of your salvation, because God has said it. God has said it, that there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I'm not condemned anymore, because I am in Christ Jesus. And this is why we come to God with confidence in prayer, by faith again. We are trusting in the Lord. We have this assurance, not because of ourselves, but because of Christ and what he has done. In the previous chapter, in Hebrews 10 and verses 19 onwards, that is what he says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. It is by the blood of Jesus that we have boldness to enter in. My assurance comes on the fact that he is shed his blood for me, and that that's has satisfied my holy Father. Verse 20, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Do you see? He says, we are drawing near to God with this full assurance of faith. I'm trusting in the Lord and what he, the Lord Jesus Christ, has done. So, do you lack assurance? We all at different times lack assurance. We sometimes wonder, but we have to then bring ourselves back, take a few steps back, go to the cross, look to Christ, see, was his sacrifice finished or was it half done? And was it accepted by God? How do I know it was accepted by God? Because he rose from the dead on the third day. And so that is my hope. That is my confidence. And so by faith, Abel did the same. He offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. So in conclusion, dear friends, notice two more references to Abel. First of all, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 24, Hebrews 12 and 24, we read that the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ in verse 24 of Hebrews 12, speaketh better things than that of Abel. What is that? While the blood of Abel was prophetic and pointed forward to that which was to be, the blood of Jesus Christ, on the other hand, it declared that the whole work of salvation is finished. That's what Christ's blood is saying. The whole work of salvation is finished. There is no more offering for sin. His offering was and is historic, we could say. So that is one reference to the blood of Abel. It was not like the blood of Christ. It pointed to it. It foreshadowed it. But the blood of Jesus Christ is the one that we look to for our salvation and forgiveness and washing. But another reference is this. Again, going back to verse 4 of chapter 11. Abel, by his faith, by it, he being dead yet speaketh. This means that Abel continues to proclaim from age to age that there is only one way for a guilty sinner to be saved. There's only one acceptable way for a man to approach a holy God. And that way is through faith in the precious blood of that finished sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we must look again, dear friends. Look again at these things. We must remember what Abel's blood meant. In chapter 9 and verse 22 we read, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. We might come back to this passage again another time, but I trust that we have gleaned something of what it is to exercise faith, and what a picture Abel is for us, and what a negative picture Cain is for us. Well, may the Lord help us to draw nigh to God, even tonight, with boldness and full assurance of faith. Amen.